Asia.
Banyan. Weathering the Trump trade typhoon. The complacent region of Southeast Asia could use an outside jolt.
In 1833, Edmund Roberts, President Andrew Jackson's envoy, signed with the Kingdom of Siam in Bangkok a treaty of amity and commerce. It was America's first in Asia, promising commercial intercourse as long as heaven and earth shall endure. Nearly two centuries later, Thailand still feels the amity, and not just from America. The Americans love us, the Chinese love us, we don't have to choose sides, boasted Pichai Nariptapan, Thailand's commerce minister, on November 7th. Mr. Pichai thinks the America-China trade war, likely to escalate under Donald Trump, will only heat up the love-in. He is far from the only trade optimist in Southeast Asia. During the last round of American tariffs on China, trade and investment gushed into the region as firms developed China Plus One strategies, in which supply chain nodes are added outside China. Many officials expect more of the same this time round. Even Mr. Trump's most disastrous proposal, a 20% across-the-board tariff combined with 60% levies on Chinese imports, could still leave Southeast Asia a net beneficiary. Such a large differential in tariff rates would create a powerful incentive for tariff engineering, that is, rejigging supply chains for the sole purpose of qualifying for the lower non-Chinese rate. This view is too complacent. One reason is that America's fears over China are broadening. In September, Joe Biden banned imports of internet-connected cars supplied by companies with a sufficient nexus to China, a standard that, if applied widely, could implicate all of Asia. Another is that it underestimates Mr. Trump's willingness to inflict punitive trade policy. As Michael Beeman, who served as an American trade negotiator in Asia under the Trump and Biden administrations, writes in Walking Out, a new book, Mr. Trump was not afraid to undermine his own efforts to contain China by going after Asian countries accused of trade infractions. Mr. Trump's approach to trade, argues Mr. Beeman, presumes a right to reassess America's commitments if its trading partners let cheap Chinese goods reach America through the back door. As much as Southeast Asia craves non-alignment, in practice it could be forced into choices that anger either America or China. Already, early reports suggest higher American tariffs on largely Chinese-built solar panels from Thailand, Vietnam, and Malaysia have led to scaled-back operations. What if America, keen to keep its chips away from Chinese AI firms, restricts exports to countries like Malaysia, slowing its data center boom? Bungled policies could upset both sides. Southeast Asia is not wholly at the mercy of warring great powers, though. It boasts a thick web of bilateral free trade agreements. Still more promising are two major pieces of multilateral trading infrastructure that are independent of America. One is RCEP, a tariff-cutting agreement linking the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, to East Asia. The other is the CPTPP, successor deal to the Trans-Pacific Partnership that America abandoned under Mr. Trump's first administration. Four ASEAN members have joined it. In theory, these offer alternatives to creaky American-led trading institutions like the World Trade Organization and should raise intra-Asia trade, which is itself a hedge against American protectionism. Yet their rollouts have been sluggish. RCEP has not gone nearly far enough. A recent study finds that since 2021, only Japan, South Korea, and China have enjoyed tariff reductions through it. Although ASEAN has lowered tariffs, little has been done about non-tariff trade barriers, such as differing product standards. Meanwhile, the CPTPP, a more thorough deal, has no permanent secretariat. Its meetings are akin to an ad hoc get-together of department heads in a company with no C-suite, says Deborah Elms of the Hinrich Foundation, a trade think tank in Singapore. The strongest case for optimism is that Mr. Trump's protectionism and distrust of multilateralism could rouse the region's ambitions. ASEAN's leaders know all too well how much their economies rely on trade. Yet boosting regional trade has not been an urgent priority. Many hoped in vain that America's return to free trade was just one election away. Those hopes are now dead. What remains is the weary work of further ASEAN integration, lowering barriers, harmonizing standards, and invigorating trade architecture. It has rarely seemed so pressing.